You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is the show for you. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This day is a very special day for me in getting my 100th appearance for this club that I love so much.
Delgado, that was well played. Osorio! Jonathan Osorio scores one for Toronto.
I want to thank the whole Toronto City organization, the staff, and my teammates.
Warner makes a run. That opens it up for Luke Moore. Moore to the spot. Up comes Clark. He's lost the ball. And Jonathan Osorio has scored this game's second goal for Toronto FC, who take the lead.
As well as, of course, the fans of Toronto for letting me be a part of such a wonderful club and a club that is on the come up to be one of the best in North America.
I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
TFC Pitchside. What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Happy Victoria Day. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos, as always, and producer Bozy, always producing the top intros for the show. And of course, Jonathan Osorio, big discussion point this week. 100 appearances with your Toronto FC, and he will join us in just a little bit. But what we will get to outside of that, the 1-1, or the, sorry, goalless draw.
Yeah, don't be too optimistic.
1-1 was with New York. Point apiece. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Split of the spoils. Share of the spoils. I'm not even getting my crappy sayings correct.
You could say that too.
Yeah. So a 0-0 draw with Columbus. And Sebastian Giovinco not going to Euro 2016. We'll get to all of that right here on TFC Pitchside. But let's start with the goalless draw, Thomas. And I mean, you're finishing off a four-game homestand. You get 4 points from the first three games. To me, not that Columbus is a must win over the weekend. We're still so early in the season. And TFC, I think, it's pretty comfortable to say that they will be in the playoffs this year. But I felt like it was a big game for the Reds to get 3 points. Like, you wanted 3 points out of this game. Just to say you got 7 points from this homestand, that's a good, solid number. And Vanny comes out with the 3-5-2. I understand his reasonings behind it, but I didn't like that they kind of went with a passive mindset against Columbus.
It's still early, obviously.
I just said that, yeah.
Yeah, it's still early, and I just wanted to say
we sound like a
time.
Bunch of Mike Wilners in here. Jeez.
I don't even get that reference.
Okay. Don't listen to Blue Jays talk enough here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
No, I don't.
We could use a Mike Wilner It's Early drop. It's okay.
I have to say, when you're playing in the East.
Although this is, what, a third of the game's gone now?
It's the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
There's no alarm bells now. There's really no alarm bells when there's five games left in the season.
No, but I thought it was.
Unless you're really tanking.
I thought it was a big game. Like, Columbus is reeling. You know, they just lost Kai Kamara. They lost their goal scorer, their finisher, per se. And TFC come out with what I thought was a passive lineup.
And that's the thing. It's not about should there be alarm bells? It was the fact that there was no growl and there was no bite. They didn't come across as the home squad. They didn't come across as the aggressors. And playing this formation or not, you want to see the home team attack, especially the fans.
Yeah.
If you're a TFC fan, you're looking at this game and going, "Where's your balls?"
Okay, I get that.
Was that too harsh?
There's parts of me that likes what Vanny's doing here, because we know that Columbus, they've got some really good wide players. They like to put a lot of crosses in the box. And at the same time, a 4-4-2 diamond you get burned on the wings. We've seen that with TFC this year. Yeah. So I understand going with the 3-5-2.
But here's the thing with that. You mentioned it earlier. They're missing their key goal scorer. He's gone. They're missing their
but
key goal
scorer.
But
they still have their good wide players.
True. But when you're missing your target, man, you still should attack. A little bit more than they should. Columbus, to me, bossed the game.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? That's the way I saw it.
They didn't.
Two back passes gave Giovinco the room. I think Babouli set up the second back pass. Babouli set it up, not to Giovinco. But what I'm saying is Columbus made two errors, and that was really much our attack outside of another wonderful attempt by Giovinco to get a shot on goal. There was really nothing there. Columbus had more chances. Columbus should have won the game given Clint Irwin making two good saves.
Well, Steve Clark made a few good saves.
True.
And Giovinco missed the net on his best chance of the game, the one that Babouli slipped through for him.
I just
didn't like the setup either, but there's reasoning behind it.
You can go.
There's reasoning behind it. They did it against Columbus last year in Columbus,
not
and they
enough.
Came back from three goals down. The other one is they're missing midfielders. Like Osorio, who's going to join us in a bit. He's not fully fit to play 90 minutes, so he doesn't start this game.
He's Jay one of their Chapman, key attackers.
Yeah. Jay Chapman, who wasn't very good against New York, still a work in progress going forward for TFC. He didn't look great, but you're missing Marky Delgado, Benoit Cheyrou. So you're missing a key part of your midfield there, and that hurts. You're playing your third game in 7 days. So it seemed to me that there was a little bit of fatigue involved there as well. Because you just didn't see TFC players jumping into the attack all that often. Outside of Giovinco and Babouli.
Would you say it's because another key component is absent?
Jozy Altidore?
Yeah. This is the second game. We're seeing it again.
Yeah, I kind of think that Altidore's presence, not only does it open so much space for Giovinco, and this is what we were getting at with Altidore doesn't necessarily have to score to provide value for TFC because
Giovinco scores.
His value is in scoring goals, yes, but also having that hold up play, helping out defensively, opening up space for other players like Sebastian Giovinco and midfielders jumping into the attack like Will Johnson and whomever else. Altidore's value to this team is not just about his goals.
And we've
seen
it.
Two straight games where TFC struggling to create things through the middle. And so they push things out wide and you're not going to create a lot with crosses into the box when your two forwards are 5'4 and 5'8 in Mo Babouli and Sebastian Giovinco.
And that's the point. It's the link up play. And Altidore is a huge part of that link up play.
And there was times where Babouli and Giovinco worked very well.
I think Babouli had one of his best game of the season.
He was... Sebastian Giovinco himself admitted that Babouli was the best player on the field. And Giovinco even said after the game that he apologized to Babouli for not finishing off some of the chances that Babouli provided for Giovinco.
Yeah, and I think Vanny was saying that he was he needs to be quicker with his his instinct, just quicker with his where am I going to go? Where am I going to place
his
this
internal
ball?
Clock.
Yeah.
So
he's got to be quicker. But you know what? Giovinco is a proven goal scorer. It's going to happen to the best of them. He had chances. He missed them. He's still tied for the league lead with 8 goals. So you have to accept that there's going to be games that Giovinco is off. So who's going to step up? That is the problem. And depth up front is the issue, I think.
Yeah, it is. And there's no help coming, I don't think, with the way that the cap situation is playing out right now for TFC. But you look at some of the stats, and the one that really stuck out to me was Giovinco had 8 shots at goal. TFC as a team had 8 shots at goal. Not one other player attempted a shot on net. Babouli had one slim chance off of a corner. Drew Moore had a slim chance off of a corner kick. That was it.
And that's the problem.
So
that's the biggest issue. The biggest issue is...
You know, there were times where I wanted Babouli to be a little bit more selfish, not always look for the pass, go for goal himself. He didn't always do that.
Of course, he's going to try and service Giovinco, though.
Yes.
He's a rookie.
He's a young player.
Yeah.
He knows it's, you know, it's like,
he knows the deal.
It's like the Will Ferrell movie, right? Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah.
When they get the Italians from the butcher and they're, Will Ferrell's like his whole,
just pass.
His whole tactic formation is just pass to the Italians. Give it to Massimo.
And that's the thing too, right? We're looking at Giovinco and going, even when he's contained, there's no one out there. Columbus knows what they have to do with him.
Right.
Even still, he collected eight shots on goal.
Columbus made sure that they had two players on Giovinco at all times. At all times.
And there's another issue that I have is there's space. If two players are on Giovinco, there is space for someone else.
So he needs to be looking for the pass more often too?
No. What I'm saying is someone has to step up and be able to create their own shot. Sometimes the link of play is not going to be there. So someone, an attack-minded player, Osorio, we know he has the issue with his ankle. Okay, fine. But someone else has to step up and be able to create their own shot. And I think therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside. Some of your tweets on the game as TFC grab 5 points from the 4 home games. Matthew tweets in, he says, should have got more from last 2 games, minus Saunders' brilliance and Seba missing 2 sitters versus Columbus. Should have been 9 points.
I can't argue with that.
Should TFC be...
Not 9 points.
Should you be really upset that TFC did not get more points over this homestand? Because we know in MLS, you have to get your points at home. Everything on the road is gravy. And so those 11 points to begin the year on the road, all gravy.
Out of the 3 games, the only game, 3 games at home that TFC played at BMO, the only game that I would have accepted a draw was the 4-3 game against Vancouver. I would have accepted a draw there.
You could argue they should have won that game.
True.
They created a ton of chances in that game.
But when you're down 2-0.
Usted made a whole bunch of saves, and it really came down to individual defending errors.
But when you're down 2-0 and you draw at home, I can accept that.
Right.
The other 2 games, I cannot accept. They have to be smashing New York City FC after what we saw this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get to the touchdown win for the Red Bulls over New York City FC. Adriano tweets in, he says, unacceptable 5 points in 4 home games. Colin tweets in, better than 4 points, which is what they would have had if Irwin hadn't come up big. Irwin, you know, there was the
timely saves.
There's the brief part in the second half where it looked like Columbus made some tactical changes at the break and they were just coasting through TFC's defense. And they had a whole bunch of chances. That's when Miram hit the post. That's when Josh Williams had the great stop on the line. You know,
that was a lovely chip, too.
It was a nice chip.
Yeah, it was a nice chip. Seba-like.
Very nice from Justin Miram. And that goes back to, you know, Columbus, despite missing Kai Kamara, still had some very good attacking players.
This team has 11 points. Columbus has 11 points from 11 games. It shouldn't have been that hard for TFC. Plain and simple.
Justin tweets in, he says 5 points in 4 home games is concerning. Alec tweets in, he says piss poor. DJP says not good.
I wouldn't imagine anyone saying that it's great.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not good.
So we understand.
One word, what would you say? 5 points in 4 games. One word, TFC getting 5 points in their 4 games at BMO Field is, give me one word answer. Don't take forever either.
I'm not even, this is not even
that's
a
not
word.
One word.
This is the sound. Eh.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Eh.
It's not the end of the world, but it's certainly not what anybody, and TFC, I'm sure, will ask Jonathan Osorio this same question, but I can't imagine anybody with the club is happy about this. But again, I think this early part of the season for TFC is more about setting your defensive identity, setting your new team identity than it is about the points.
Yeah, it's making BMO a fortress, making BMO the place where teams come and it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not
hard. And then once Bradley gets back from Copa America and you get into the summer months, that's when TFC, you want to see them starting to hit their stride going into the postseason.
A playoff team in this league has to have a fantastic home record.
Right.
Home is where you make the playoffs, because on the road, draws are okay. And we see it all time and time again. You have to win your home games.
And TFC needs to start scoring more goals, you might say. So far this year, they have 14 goals for. That is not great. It ranks amongst the bottom five in the league.
But again, this is where I want to make point to the East. The Philadelphia Union are top of the Eastern Conference right now with 18 points from 11 games. They only have 15 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not.
Well, they're winning on strong defense.
Yeah, they're winning on strong, and they're getting those 1-0 victories or, 2-1 at the most. It's not that they're not scoring goals. It's just when you have your chances, make them count, especially at home.
The top teams right now in each conference, Colorado and Philadelphia, those are your two best defenses in all of MLS, TFC, then third.
Yeah, the Western Conference is a different animal altogether. Colorado's killing it.
A lot of those teams have played more games than the rest of the Eastern Conference. So the East is kind of a mess, and the West is clearly the class of the league right now.
But here's the thing, though. Colorado, FC Dallas, Real Salt Lake, top
all
three.
Right, this isn't our MLS look around the league.
No, I know.
Okay.
I'm trying to make
finish
a point.
Finish your point. All right. Finish it.
Those three teams, if you look at their home record, that's what TFC has to strive for because they're near perfect. Not one of them have a loss at home, and that's the point.
The six playoff teams in the Western Conference, among them, only one loss at home so far this year. Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitch Side. So the big news today, and it's probably good news for TFC, Sebastian Giovinco not named to Italy's 30-man preliminary roster for Euro 2016. That means he's not going, essentially, unless, seven forwards get injured over the next week or so.
Ooh,
and that's not going to happen.
And you're looking at those strikers that they're taking, and I'm scratching my head. I'm not even Italian.
Shame.
Yeah. Shame bell goes to Antonio Conte and Italy this week.
Good call, Bozy.
Because, look, people are going to make the brash statement that this is all about MLS and the fact that Sebastian Giovinco and Andrea Pirlo are playing in MLS negated them from even having the possibility of going to Euro 2016. And this squad choices, they confirm that for a lot of people, that Italy doesn't rate MLS. And because of that, didn't matter what Giovinco did over here, he wasn't going to make this Euro 2016 roster. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and there's two other arguments too. We're talking about it when we're doing the show rundown is that, the other thing is, the type of warriors Antonio Conte wants to take.
Look, being an Italian, I hate this team.
But
not just from Giovinco's exclusion, from top to bottom, outside of the defense, this team is deplorable.
Do you hate that warrior mentality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't win tournament. Like, the thing is, Conte wanted to bring warriors rather than his most talented players. And the problem with that is you can win a 38-game league season like that.
Absolutely.
You can't win a tournament like that.
No.
In a short-form tournament, you just cannot do it.
It's a crapshoot. You have 7 games or 8 games or whatever.
You need game-breaking talent.
Yeah, and you need impact players, and I do not see an impact player here. Looking at the strikers, Adair, half a season.
Horrible.
Right?
Horrible.
Immobile, you can make an argument for. No?
He's bad.
Wow. I don't know.
Immobile is bad.
Okay, I'll give you that. Zaza, 5 goals. Adair had 5 goals. Pele is the most streakiest, one of the most streakiest players I've seen in the last 5 years. He always starts off quick, dies for the rest of the season, and then comes on strong in the end. But to take him to Euro 2016 right now over Giovinco, I wouldn't do that.
No, and it's not just a question of, to me at least, it's not just a question of MLS. To me, it's a larger question about Antonio Conte and the choices that he made for his squad. Here's my take, though, on Giovinco being left out, and it's... I'm trying to find the proper way to say this. But to me, he's always been a fringe player for Italy. No matter where he's playing, the only time he got a consistent run in the team is after he had his great year with Parma. After that, he goes back to Juventus, and his playing time is all of a sudden spotty.
He becomes
an afterthought for the
Italy. It was literally a year and a half of playing for the Italian national team before he became an unused substitute.
And he got recalled up to the Italian team after he came to MLS, right? He played in October. We all remember it. Plays against Norway, I think it was, on a Tuesday night in Rome. Then he shows up the next night playing against the Red Bull for TFC, scores maybe the greatest goal in MLS history.
See, I have the thought that
I don't think he's been called up.
Is it just that maybe Italy, and by Italy I mean calcio, Italian football, does not rate a player like Giovinco because he's too small, because he doesn't have any body weight on him? He can't. I think it's ridiculous. Well,
there was questions about whether or not Lorenzo Insigne would be on the team, and you could argue he's Italy's best attacking player right now.
Who would you put
in his
place?
There was a debate over Lorenzo Insigne. Who's having this debate? There shouldn't be a debate.
Antonio Conte.
To me, you can have a conversation about Giovinco, whether or not he deserves to be in the team. I think he does. But you look around the Italy squad, and there's other notable exclusions to me. And they're talented players, just like Giovinco, technical players.
Game breakers.
Domenico Berardi, Riccardo Saponara, Nicola Sansone, the highest scoring Italian in Serie A this year, Leonardo Pavoletti.
Your pronunciation is fantastic.
So, it's not just about Giovinco. I know people are making it about MLS and the fact that Italy doesn't rate MLS. History lesson. Italy doesn't like it when players leave their home division. There are three players on this team that aren't in Italy and playing in Serie A. They are Graziano Pelle, Angelo Ogbonna, and Thiago Motta.
And Thiago Motta made the team.
Well, the midfield is all messed up because of Marchisio and Verratti being hurt.
So listening to you right now, what I'm getting at is Italy doesn't rate Sebastian Giovinco. And I think that's why left.
Right.
I'm gone.
Part of the reason he got fed up, and you can go back and listen to his introductory press conferences with TFC. Part of the reason he got fed up in Europe is because he was always looked over because of his size. All the time.
Show me love. That's what he wanted.
That was part of the reason he came here. The other reason is because TFC had a lot of money and they gave it to him and they gave him the number 10 jersey. But I'm feeling for Sebastian Giovinco today, and I think you all should be.
Sebastian Giovinco just wants to be loved.
Before we get to Jonathan Osorio, I just want to say one thing. The one worry some TFC fans are having, and maybe even just the feeling I get from being around the club so much, maybe even the
club. We talked about this.
It's the fact that in 2014, when Jermaine Defoe didn't make the England World Cup roster, he got pissed and wanted to leave TFC after that.
Can I just break that?
Giovinco
don't give this story any steam.
Giovinco's not that guy.
You can see how he plays.
And you know what?
The desire just to move forward, to grab the ball out of the net when they're down 3 goals. He's not that guy. Don't give this story any steam.
And Jermaine Defoe, who was one of the top scorers in the Premier League this year, not on the England roster. Not that there's a surprise there.
I'm okay with that.
He didn't make it while he was here, and he didn't make it while he's there. I mean, Defoe was past his prime anyways. So Giovinco should be on the Italy team, and we wish him all the best. We'll be happy that he's here, and maybe he can bring home a V Cup.
Toronto loves you.
While he is still here with TFC instead of being off at the Euros. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitch Side. And we are very happy now to be joined, a debut for this man on TFC Pitch Side. It is TFC midfielder Jonathan Osorio making his 100th appearance with the club and just the second player to do that for TFC in their history. Hey, John, thanks so much for doing this. Congratulations. What a feat, what a milestone this is. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate the all the love that everybody has been giving me for this accomplishment. It's an honor. You know, it's cool to be the second player in history to reach that feat. So, and right behind a good friend of mine. So it's a really cool feeling.
Now, growing up as a little guy, like this is TFC's 10th year in history. I mean, you maybe didn't even think that this was a possibility when you were a kid. How much is the development of soccer here in Toronto and in Canada helped you, and Did you ever think that you would reach this point? Because it's been quite the career already and still a few years to go.
Yeah, as a kid, I mean, I never knew this was never possible because Toronto City never even existed. So it's crazy that now it's already happened, and thanks to God, it's happened really fast, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the growth here for players is you can see it. It's happening. You know, we have a lot more players playing in professional clubs, and now and especially now that we have academies in our three professional clubs in Canada, so you see a lot of talent coming up, and the system and the structure of Canadian soccer has changed, you know, a lot in the past few years, and it'll only get better from moving forward. So I'm very excited to see a lot more kids reaching 100 appearances for whichever club they play for.
Well, let's stick with TFC, and you were there from the very beginning, and you were developed through the team. What's the difference now, seeing from what it was when you started to the kids coming in now?
Like I said, there's more structure. There's more structure in the academy for the academy team. You know, we have a new director now, and you know, a lot has changed. I think TFC 2 has been the biggest change that I would say the academy has done. Now we have a second team. You know, that's basically one step to becoming professional. And it gives a chance for kids to get a taste of what the professional environment feels like. So I think TFC 2 is really great. It wasn't around when I started playing, but now that it is around, you know, we have a lot of players that we can keep an eye on and see how they fare against, you know, pretty good competition.
TFC midfielder Jonathan Osorio joining us here on TFC Pitch Side. How's the ankle? Is it close to fully being ready for a full 90 minutes?
Yeah, it's close. You know, it sucks because I was getting really close to healthy. I was feeling really good in that Vancouver game, but unfortunately, you know, these injuries happen, and it just so happened I had bad luck that it happened to the same ankle. So it's feeling good. I think I'll be 100% to play 90 for next game.
Well, that's good to hear. I know TFC fans will be happy about that. So you guys go on the 8-game road trip, and it comes out really well. You get 11 points from that. And, you know, everybody was really excited about this 4-game homestand and really thinking that you guys could maybe cement yourselves at the top of the Eastern Conference. It hasn't really gone to plan. There's been some positives to take from it, but maybe what you think held you back a little bit and only getting 5 points from these four home games. You disappointed with that at all?
Yeah, I think we are. We're a little bit disappointed, but we're not hanging our heads either. You know, we only lost one game out of the four, but we know we, especially with the team that we have, we expect to take maximum points from every time we play at home. So, yeah, we're a little disappointed, but it's something to move forward from, something to learn from. You know, some games, I guess we're just missing a little bit of that. I don't even know really what to call it, but we're just missing something that would end games and get us the 3 points, and especially in the ones that we tied. So, It's just about learning from this and moving forward. And now it's very important now to take 3 points every home game we get.
Defensively, the team is in the, top three in the league, I believe. And the problem has been scoring goals. And Josie being out, being on a rut hurts things. But what is the actual issue with moving forward? The team kind of looks uneasy, especially against Columbus.
Well, I think Columbus, we changed formation just to counter their style of play. And we've done it. We've actually played the formation against them before. And it looked like it wasn't working, but we ended up tying that game 3-3 last year. So I guess we went with that mentality of thinking, you know, it would be kind of a similar game. And it worked well defensively. It's just, of course, like you said, we had problems scoring. I think that there was a little bit of a disconnect from the defense towards the forwards. And that's all it was. But once we changed into the diamond, I think we had some chances to win the game. Unfortunately, the ball didn't go in.
TFC midfielder Jonathan Osorio joining us here on TFC Pitch Side. Today the news comes down that Sebastian Giovinco not going to be on the Italy squad. And that's great for you guys. You get to keep him over this next month. But you as a player, you know, you've dealt with some snubbery from the international team. You don't have to comment on that. That's just my opinion. But As far as Jovinko goes, have you talked to him today? How's he feeling about not making the Italy team?
Oh, unfortunately, I haven't talked to him yet since the list has come out. I'm sure, you know, he's probably disappointed, but, you know, it's something that you can't hang your head on. You know, you can't think about it too much. He's obviously doing great, and he's done great, and I, in my opinion, he deserves a call-up for the Italian national team. And I even think he'll be one of the best players on the team right now, to be honest. So, you know, it's something that, you know, good players like this know how to move on from it and keep performing. And now he can use it as motivation to even perform even better, to show them that they're going to be missing a good player at the Euro.
Well, being in the locker room with you guys after the games, talking with everyone, our producer Bozy and Marco D'Onofrio have been talking to you guys about stepping up your dressing game and seeing that you guys are very jazzy and looking flashy.
Fashion is key to the swagger, right?
It really is. Is Giovinco the standard that you guys aspire to be to?
I think Oso dresses better than Giovinco. That's just my opinion.
Hey, I mean, some days I think I get the better of him. But, you know, he's Italian, so he's got a leg up on me, I guess.
That's
but,
what I mean.
You know, but for me, for where I come from, I think I hold my own. And, you know, whatever. We got a few guys on the team that are really good dressers. And, you know, the French guys, you know, the French have really good style. So it's if it was a competition, it would be hard, but I think I'd be near the top.
Toronto FC midfielder Jonathan Osorio, our guest here. Quickly, more as a general conversation, Oso, because this has been brought up a lot now that Giovinco did not make the Italy team. But do you think MLS is still kind of suffering from being underrated from the rest of the world and the quality that is on the field in this league?
Yeah, well, for sure. I think it's very underrated by the rest of the world. And, I mean, perfect example is Sebastian Giovinco. There's no other reason why he's not. I don't think there's any other reason why he's not called to this team other than just because he plays in MLS. And I think that's a mistake. The MLS is a tough league for all its factors, and even the players. There's a lot of quality in this league. So unfortunately, it's still like that these days. But I'm pretty sure I'm hopeful that it will. That will change in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, we've seen the growth of the league pretty big over the last few years, especially. Oso, I wanted to ask you, though, what did you get after your 100th appearance? Any gifts from the supporter groups after the big milestone?
Yeah. Actually, I went over and the U Sector they made a nice banner for me signed by all the supporters in that section. So, I put up a picture on my Instagram, and it was really cool. It was really cool to get that.
Now, Euros, Copa, starting very soon. There's going to be a break for you guys. Who are you rooting for in both?
Well, for Copa America, I'll be rooting for Colombia, my native country.
Big shocker there. Big shocker there. Well,
that was a setup.
So I'll be cheering for them. In the Euro, I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm a big fan of all those teams. I love watching quality football, and I guess I'll go for France just because they're at home, and it'll be nice for the home team to hoist the trophy.
If Sebo was going, I think you'd be voting for Italy, would you not?
Yeah, well, of course.
Thanks so much for doing this, Oso. We really appreciate your time. Best of luck in New Jersey next week against the Red Bull. They're kind of hot right now after the big touchdown win over NYCFC, but you guys have done it already there once before this season. So best of luck out there. Enjoy the mini break over the course of the summer, and we'll get back to it in middle of June, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
There he is, Jonathan Osorio here on TFC Pitchside for the first time and first of many times. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at OsoJ92, and you could say whatever you want about this franchise over the first 9 years, but Jonathan Osorio is one of the bright, shining lights that TFC can always point to.
And that Canada should depend on moving forward.
Yes.
Enough with the snubs.
Mr. Benito Floro. We do hope that Jonathan Osorio is back in the red and white of Canada very, very soon. And I'm sure he will be as one of the bright young Canadian players to come through. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos will continue talking about some of those bright young Canadian players in the second segment. We'll touch on TFC 2. We'll touch on the MLS salary release that was last week. Thomas didn't get a chance to chime in with some of his thoughts. And of course, the brawl in New York, although it was kind of a one-sided fight. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this TFC Pitch Side.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio, and you're listening to TFC Pitch Side.
65th corner taken this year by the Red Bulls. One of four teams not to score from one. That header's in, though! And it had to be Dax McCarty, the Red Bulls captain. One of the smallest players on the field who heads the Red Bulls in front inside of 3 minutes. Grella comes to the byline, gets the cross in right, Phillips! And it's in! It's stuck underneath Saunders! Grella hooks it across, calling up for it. Briant up as well, right, Phillips! The overhead is in! Absolutely sensational! It's McCarty's second, it's the Red Bulls' fourth. It is an absolute rout! Frederick Briant sets it up instead for the fifth goal! Alex Mule, his first for the Red Bulls! Felipe hooking this in, Saunders lost in space, it's headed in! Felipe swings it in, it bounces on the doorstep, Baum is in there, it's seven! Incredible! Gideon Baum! One of the most incredible, amazing, eye-opening, shocking, stunning, whatever else you want to call it, days we've seen for a long while in MLS.
What New York Derby? Only one team exists in that Derby right now, and that is the New York Red Bulls, whom TFC will face this upcoming Saturday. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitch Side, and 7-0 is the final, Thomas. And you were in New York participating in some of those street brawls?
Absolutely not, Dan.
What?
I was actually supposed to go to this game.
Yeah.
But my wife and her sister-in-law, who's pregnant, had better ideas for that day, so I didn't end up going to this game. Luckily, I didn't because...
we wouldn't want a pregnant lady around the, you know,
well,
the New York brawls.
Knowing this is what happened. This was Penn Station, Newark.
Yeah.
I was in Penn Station, New York.
Oh.
So one stop a little bit further. I wasn't in New Jersey. But I saw this. What a bunch of posers. Come on.
Right?
Big time.
It's totally posers. Like, I don't know how you could... And I mean this with all due respect
to
New York City FC fans.
No, you don't.
But I just don't know how you could be willing to shed your blood, sweat, and tears for a club that is just so brand new that basically somebody cut a check for and got.
Yeah.
And now you have a team that's playing in a baseball stadium.
And can I say one thing? I watched the Toronto FC, New York City FC game
right
in a bar in Midtown Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a soccer bar.
Okay.
And I had to ask them to put on the game. So really, is there
what was
that
on
much?
Instead? The Yankees?
No, the Mets.
Oh God, meet the Mets. Was that the night Matt Harvey got shellacked? It was.
Yeah, it was the same. Yeah. It was the huge game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Matt Harvey Day.
But that's going to what you're saying. Is there really that much love and undying passion when, like, Midtown Manhattan sports pub, no game?
Matt Harvey got beat in the same way that the Red Bulls beat up on New York City FC.
It was embarrassing to watch.
I got
to
say something about Josh Saunders, too. And
he's horrible.
You know, Vanny mentioned this to me last week at training in a question that I asked during a media scrum. Every time Josh Saunders plays TFC, he has the best game of his life.
And the rest of the games, He is a USL.
He's at basically best. A pylon.
Yeah. He is off. Okay. His defense left him hanging. Yeah. Okay. 5 goals from set pieces.
Right.
That's awful. 2 of those goals, one of the shortest guys in the league, Dax McCarty, getting to a header off a corner. Embarrassing. And that's the one thing for TFC. They only scored 1 goal against this garbage defense.
All right. We are running quickly out of time. So let's go around MLS, TFC, pitch side, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. Let's do the MLS Minute.
The MLS Minute.
All right, Chicago, they actually won a game. You know why?
Why?
They played Houston, the only team worse than them.
I knew there was
1-0 is the final there. The Revolution in trouble. They lose 4-2 at home.
Leading in the game.
FC Dallas. They were leading in the game as well. And our boy Tesho Akindele on the show a couple of weeks ago before TFC played Dallas had a couple of goals in this one and did get the start as well and is now in MLS Team of the Week for his 2-goal performance. Orlando, 2-1 win over Montreal in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl, and it was good old boy Kyle Larin getting 2 goals.
Great part about that is his link-up play with Kaká.
Both assists coming from
Great Kaká. Great for Canada.
And quickly on Larin, where do you... How much longer do you think he stays in MLS?
1 more season? Maybe.
I hope he stays longer.
Someone's going to pick him up.
Hopefully Orlando gives him a DP contract. Real Salt Lake 3-1 over Sporting KC. They've collected 5 of their last 27 points, Sporting KC. They are in the basement. And Colorado gets another win 1-0 over Seattle. They are the top team in MLS right now on 27 points. The only team averaging more than 2 points per game.
Pretty good.
I still don't know how it's happening.
Neither
do I. But there is your MLS Minute.
Oh, we should mention Vancouver Whitecaps.
Oh, yeah. 4-2 losers. Why did I miss that one? Oh,
because they played on Sunday. There you go. You have 1 more score as well.
Portland.
Don't make me do your job, Riccio.
Portland doubling up Vancouver 4-2.
And Pedro Morales, another penalty kick goal. 6 goals, 5 of them from the spot.
His goal against TFC was really nice, though. LA Galaxy and San Jose 1-1 draw as well. All right, quickly back on TFC. There's a couple of things I wanted to get to that we didn't get to in the first segment. Eric Zavaleta made his first appearance for TFC in the 0-0 draw with Columbus. I harped on Eric a little bit on the last on the match preview because the salaries had just come out, and I see that he's making just under $150,000, which is a lot when you consider that TFC, a lot of their cap room is already going to that defense,
yeah,
the newly formed defense.
So why risk it there? For a guy who's not playing
I will
much.
Say he was not very good in possession, doesn't look comfortable on the ball when passing it, but he had good moments defensively, especially in one-on-one situations. And I really like WhoScored.com. Of the outfield players for TFC on Saturday against Columbus, Eric Zavaleta was the highest rated player at just under 7.5. 2 total tackles, 5 interceptions, 3 clearances, and 1 block shot. So I wanted to see more from Eric Zavaleta. Now that he got his chance, I saw some good things from him. There's still work to be done there. I still like Nick Haglund and his ceiling more. But I have to give credit where it's due. Zavaleta had a good but not great game against Columbus.
But with Haglund's his ceiling being higher, he's definitely making less money.
Yeah.
Why waste the money there?
I wouldn't, you know, Columbus, they also lost a player in this game. Who was it? Gaston Soro to injury. So they are really hurting at center back right now. Like when the trade window opens up again, TFC might have some trade partners for a center back. As Soro, I think, is out for 4 months. Columbus said that today. Okay, on the salaries, quickly here. One thing, like I keep seeing people say, Jozy Altidore is making $5 million. It doesn't matter what Jozy Altidore is making. The only thing that matters is if TFC can go out and acquire somebody that can take up that DP slot and do more than Jozy Altidore is doing. And that's hard to find. Like DP players are hard to find.
Yeah, and people get lost in this.
You especially see at Josie's age, at 27, just in the prime of his career, though he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, people get lost. You see it all the time over social media. He's not worth the money. He's not worth the money. TFC ain't paying him that money.
Well, they're paying that against the
cap. $450,000 counts against the cap. The dollar value is meaningless. It's the roster spot that's where the argument could truly begin.
And the other thing with TFC, there's a lot of money sunk into the defense. And, you know, they had more, like last year it was top heavy in attack.
And now, we saw the consequences to that.
And we saw the consequences to that. Now it's bottom heavy in the defense.
And we're realizing the consequences to
and
that.
And we're realizing. So it seems like TFC struggling to find more of a balance. But when you have, Sebastian Giovinco, you figure if you could stop goals from going in your own net, chances are Giovinco or one of those other guys, he's going to either score or create a goal from somewhere.
Look, no one's going to be surprised if Giovinco goes in the next game against New York Red Bull and scores three goals. No one's going to be surprised because that's the type of player he is. He's an impact player. He's going to have bad games. He's going to have good games.
TFC pitch side, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos to finish this up. TFC 2 lost all over the weekend. 2-1 to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. And yes, Romeo Park's not playing. He was released because he's an ass. I almost said something really bad. But he kicked the Canadian in the back. So he deserves all the curse words that are going at him. But Romeo Parks wasn't playing. TFC 2 still lost.
Can we say he's a douche? Is
sure.
That okay?
Yeah. 2-1. Malik Johnson, the 16-year-old who's still in high school and around high school, he finds a way to train with TFC 2.
Was that grade 10, 11?
Play these games, which is amazing. And he's a great young talent. Scored again for TFC 2. They're up against Harrisburg tomorrow night, a game you can watch on torontofc.ca.
I think they've lost 4 of their last 5, though. So
it's more about development than it is about winning games.
True.
And
figure you should know that, though.
Sam Hundahl was considered one of the best players at the U-17 tournament in Dallas, Generation Cup. And this Malik Johnson kid, always impressing. Raheem Edwards scored last week for Canada's U-23s. So a lot of good, young, up-and-coming talent with TFC, too.
And some of them might hit the 100 appearances for TFC, like Jonathan Osorio.
Thank you, Thomas. Nice to have you back. TFC playing one more game. That goes this week against the New York Red Bull. Then they are off until June 18th, 17th, something like that. But we'll still have shows here every Monday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For Thomas Michalakos, for producer Bozy, Dan Riccio, this is TFC Pitch Side.